Chapter 8. Great graces from God bring with them anxiety to safeguard them. Recalling the promise made him while saying Mass for the first time, St. John studied carefully the means in his power to persevere in the state of divine grace. He saw how necessary it was for him to withdraw farther and farther from the commerce of men, and if possible, retire into the wilderness where God communicates himself to the soul. He had made the offering of his whole self, and had nothing more to offer now, but it was his duty still to watch with Abraham and drive away the birds of the air, lest they should devour and defile the sacrifice. There seemed no other way before him except to leave the order of Carmel and become a Carthusian, for that was the only order a mendicant monk could enter. During this time, our mother, Saint Teresa, had reformed the order among the nuns and was looking for some priest who had embraced the rule to help her in the most arduous work of reforming the fathers of Carmel also. The first thought and desire for discalced Carmelite fathers came from the generous and brave heart of Saint Teresa. She had recourse to prayer, and with unceasing tears like another Rachel, entreated God for children. With this thought and desire, being in Medina del Campo, where she had just finished the second foundation of nuns, St. Teresa communicated confidentially her thoughts and desires to Father Antonio de Heredia, prior of the Calced Carmelites of that city. He promised to be the first to take off his shoes and become a barefooted friar of the primitive observance. St. Teresa was pleased with this resolution, but was not fully satisfied, fearing that he would not be strong enough to bear the austerities. After his first Mass in Medina, Father John of St. Matthias went back to Salamanca to finish his course in the university. Later in the year he came back with Fra Pedro de Orzco to Medina with the intention of going to the Carthusians of Savogia to hide himself from the contact with men, that he might serve God without any distraction. He remained, however, in the monastery of St. Anne for some time, where his resolution of going to the Carthusians was known at least to Fra Pedro, who told St. Teresa what he knew of the fervent spirit hidden in the frail body of Fra John of St. Matthias, and his earnest desire to become a Carthusian for the sake of a more perfect life than it was possible to lead among the Carmelites of the mitigation. Fra John of St. Matthias was 25 years old when he went at the urgent request of Fra Pedro de Orzco to see St. Teresa in her monastery of Medina. He had been about 4 years in the order, to the reform of which he was now called by the voice of St. Teresa, who was herself in her 53rd year, and had been in the order more than 33 years. The two saints met for the first time in the Carmelite house of St. Joseph in Medina del Campo. The nun told the friar what she intended to do, and the friar told her how he had for some time wished to become a Carthusian because he believed himself called to a life of more retirement and prayer. As the conversation continued, and the older saint represented to the younger one that he would do greater service to God if he remained where he was and helped her to restore the primitive rule of his order, that if he left it to embrace another, Fra John, humble and self-denying, yielded to the persuasion of St. Teresa, and consented to do her bidding, provided the reform should be commenced without delay. He was the gift of God to St. Teresa, who was now content. She had found the one man on whom she could depend, for though she had already accepted on certain conditions the prior of Medina, Fra Antonio de Heredia, she was not wholly satisfied with him, and therefore she waited a while, partly because of her want of perfect obedience in Fra Antonio, and partly because she had no house to give them, nor the means wherewith to buy one. But her poverty did not trouble her. On the contrary, she was gladdened by it. She used to say that she began to the work when she had found a friar and a half, referring to the fact that Fra Antonio was a portly personage of dignified presence, and Fra John was small of stature and worn already by penances. There was nothing in him outwardly to command the respect of ordinary men. But St. Teresa knew his worth. About the interpretation of the words friar and a half, there are two opinions. Some say St. Teresa referred to the outward appearance of the two friars, calling Fra Antonio, on account of his dignified presence, one friar, and St. John of the Cross, because of his small stature and the worn-out condition of his health, half a friar. Others say the mystic doctor referred to their moral and spiritual worth. Of this opinion are, besides the nuns of Medina, who lived together with the saint, Fra Manuel of St. Teresa, Fra Jose of St. Teresa, and many other writers of the order. The two friars were willing to renounce the mitigated observances of the order and to undertake the austerities of the primitive rule, but there was no house to lodge them, nor a single penny to buy one for them. They were, like St. Teresa, mendicants, and had no possessions, so they remained in the house of St. Anne of Medina, where they suffered many crosses. St. Teresa went from Medina about the end of October 1567 to Madrid, thence to the monastery of the Venerable Maria of Jesus in Alcalá de Henares. In April 1568 she made her foundation in Malagón and was preparing to make another in Valladolid. In Malagón, St. Teresa again met St. John of the Cross, and one day, while conversing together, both fell into a trance and were seen by Mother Isabel of the Incarnation. Fra John was in the parlor of the monastery, and St. Teresa in the other side of the grating. In June, St. Teresa returned to Avila to make final arrangements for the foundation of Valladolid, and while so occupied, Don Rafael Mija Velasquez, to whom she had never spoken before, called upon her and offered a small cottage he had in Durero for the monastery of the Discalced Fathers. She accepted the offer with great gratitude and went to see the place. On the road, she and her companions missed the way and so reached the place late at night. The house was so filthy that the saint and her companions did not venture to pass the night in it. It had a porch, a small kitchen, and a room with a low garret. St. Teresa considered that place the Bethlehem of the Reformed Carmel. Its utter wretchedness had won her. The night was spent in the neighboring church. The next day St. Teresa reached Medina del Campo and told the prior of the Carmelites that she had found the place. Fra Antonio was not alarmed by the account they gave him about the house. He said he would stay gladly even in a pigpen, provided he could keep the primitive rule there. Fra John of St. Matthias had no objection. The poverty of the house was a spell that attracted him. But all the difficulties were not so easily overcome. The general of the order had given permission to found new monasteries on condition that the actual provincial and former provincial gave their consent. One of them, Fra Angel of Salazar, had already been involved in trouble with St. Teresa, and probably had not forgotten it.